Accession number 11210, real one.
Mr. A.H. Watcham, real one. When and where were you born, Mr. Watcham?
I was born in 30 Southview, Tantobe, near West Stanley.
What kind of an area was it?
Mining.
Large area, large town?
Small town. Mostly mining.
Were you the only child in the family?
No, I had a brother. But he died when I was 17, 1935.
Was he older or younger?
He was older, 5 years older than I.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a schoolmaster.
At which school?
Tanfy Lee Council School.
And your mother?
Housewife. She looked after us.
Can you describe the area itself? You did say it's a mining area. Just exactly what did it look like? Where was the mine in relation to the village?
Right next door. I could look out of my bedroom window. I used to watch the men going down the pit at night. Used to enjoy watching the lamps going down. It was so close. We could actually hear them working underneath. Yes.
What type of housing were you in?
I lived in a schoolhouse, so it was on its own, within the school perimeter.
Would you describe your childhood days as comfortable?
Very happy, very comfortable, good. But I had to play with local boys, local miners' sons, so I learned the vernacular, and, you know, I was brought up with them, so I saw the good side and the bad side of that life.
Were you in any way ribbed, or did you find life difficult because you were an educated family?
No, great. Oh no, I enjoyed it, yes.
How did you occupy your leisure time as a child?
Oh, I was sport orientated, football, cricket, you name it, I did it. And I've always been keen on stamp collecting, which I do to this day, actually.
Mm. Which was your first school?
Tanfy Lee Council School.
And that was your father's school?
And that was my father's school, yes. Yeah.
Did that in any way make it difficult for you, being in your father's school?
Not really, because he was in the senior end, and I left at 11 when I gained a scholarship to... what was then the grammar school, yes.
And what year did you start your school?
1923.
And this would be in the infant department?
Yes.
And how long were you in it?
Well, I left when I was 11. So that would be 1929, yes. And I went to Alderman Wood.
Before we move on to the older stages of your education, was it a large school that you were in?
No. It wasn't a small country school, but it certainly wasn't a big school. No.
And what was the education like and the discipline?
Very good, very strict, as it was in those days. Even though my father was a teacher there, I had to toe the line. It was a very poor area. I can remember children having to line up to get free boots and clothing. You know, this was the time of 1926, the general strike. So these were difficult times, very difficult times.
So you left at 11 and went to which school?
Alderman Wood, secondary.
Was it grammar or secondary?
Well, it was called AWSS then, but it was the grammar school, as we knew it.
Had you passed an examination?
Yes, I had to pass an examination, yes.
And in the secondary school, was this near to where you lived?
Yes, about a mile away.
So you were not seen as transport?
No, walked home for lunch, walked back again. Yes, there was no transport at all, no.
And where were the children coming from, the boys and girls that went to the secondary school?
All around the area, from as far as Craghead, Southmoor, Anfield Plain, Dipton, Burnopfield, all around the area. And there's many of them walk too.
Were the mining families well represented?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. Very good cross-section, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you would be working to an examination at the end of that?
Yes, school. We took the Oxford School Certificate, as it was known then. I had to take it twice because I failed in French. And in those days, if you failed in one subject, you had to take the whole lot again. So I, unfortunately, had to take it all again. But I matriculated, I made it.
And then you would move to where?
I went straight to Bede College in Durham.
And what year would this be?
37. I was Victor Ludorum at Alderman Wood, school champion in athletics. See, I was athletically orientated, enjoyed sport. Sometimes it was my downfall, of course, because I was not applying myself in other directions, you know. I paid the penalty. But I never regretted it. And I went to college, actually, to be a physical education master.
What was life like in Bede College?
Very friendly. It was a very homely college, the Church of England College, of course. Very strict on going to chapel every morning and on Sunday. If you didn't go in the morning, you had to go in the evening. So on that level, you know, it was a very good background for us. But it was typical training college, you know, plenty to amuse you, plenty of divergences. I enjoyed it. It was two of the happiest years I think I spent. Unfortunately, the war years were clouding on us then. I can remember digging air raid shelters around the college in 38 when the Munich crisis was on. So there was always that background of, you know, worry and wonder what was going to happen to us.
Bede College, of course, had a history of students serving in the regiment.
Oh, they have a war memorial. I can't remember the name of it, but an entire, I would think it was an entire section or company was wiped out. They were volunteered, and there's a war memorial in the grounds. And the DLI go on sound retreat there. So the college has always been associated with the county region.
Yeah. Was there anything, as war clouds were coming, was there anything in your time at Bede where they told you that you were carrying forward this?
Well, I joined the
sacrifice, you might say,
I joined the ATC in college. I served for 2 years and went to Aldershot. You know, I did the certificate A and B, as they called it. So I had a little bit of military training before I joined the army, actually.
Did you have to join the OTC?
No. It was purely voluntary. But it was another event, you know. We had a good time, let's be honest about it. But there were times when we had to get on to serious training. And as I say, I went on a course in Aldershot.
How was it organised within the college? How was the...
Well, it was purely voluntary, and we went up to the drill hall at the top of Claypath. And there we got instruction, rifle instruction.
How often were the drills?
Oh, well, I think it was about once a month. It wasn't, it didn't take a lot of your time from your studies. It was, as I say, purely voluntary, and regimental dinner at the end of the year and all this sort of thing. Yes.
Did you have your weapons in college, or were they kept in the drill hall?
No, they were kept in the drill hall. But I can remember wearing putties, you know, the old First World War was, you know, when you look back, of course, that's a long time ago.
And was the OTC connected to the county regiment?
Yes, I think the instructors were DLI people, if I remember rightly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Captain Willett was, I remember he was in charge of it. Very strict.
The training that you got in the OTC, what form did it take?
Well, infantry training, you know, fire your course down at Whitburn, you know. And then, as I say, we went to Aldershot and did a map reading, you know, the whole gamut. Yeah. Quite extensive.
Did you work with other services at all?
Well, I think if I remember right, there were regular soldiers there. We put into sections and groups and trained, you know. Then we had to sit an exam. Well, as I said, I think it was called sit a bit A and B, which you had to qualify for.
Did you complete the course while you were at Bede?
The military.
The OTC course?
Yeah, in that sense, that I kept it going for the 2 years. And I think I'm right in saying I think I got one of the sit a bit, or I was mentioning it. Again, it was purely voluntary, you see.
OTs, I assume, is officer's training.
Officer's training.
So that passing the exam, therefore, you'd be in effect qualified to be an officer.
I could have, but like a fool, do I say that? When I actually joined up, this people may not believe this, but this is quite true. I volunteered to do 6 months in the ranks because I felt, and I really did feel this, that despite the fact I had had 2 years in the OTC, that I would be a better officer if I served 6 months in the ranks. And I remember I was due to go to Colchester, actually, in the June of 1940, when I was captured in May. So my 6 months, you see, and that was the tragedy of the war. But I'm still here. I, you know, there are two sides to every story. I'm still alive today, whereas...
Your Bede College period would end in 1939.
I can remember, we used to go over to St Hills, that's the women's college next door, and we used to have these, what they called, sort of, well, dances on the lawn in the afternoons. And I had to excuse myself from my lady partner and go up to the Old Bailey there, the Bailey, and sign on. Military service.
And this would be when?
June 39. You see, because I should have been, I was militia age, you see, and then you were, I think it was 18 months we had to do. And in between then, the war was declared, you see, and of course I became a conscript. But I asked for 3 months leave of absence because I'd just taken my finals and I felt that I was justified in having a break. But then, of course, war was declared again. And, of course, I was hauled up on the 15th of September.
When you left B, what were your qualifications?
I was a fully trained physical training teacher. I took an advanced course there and qualified and got a teacher's certificate. And a lot of my colleagues went on to Loughborough and Carnegie. But, you see, I was 21. I had no choice. I was called up. And that's my gripe. Because,
so you go straight from college into the army?
Yeah, I couldn't get a job. When authorities sent, they sent reps to the colleges to interview students, and the first question they asked me, how old? 21. Well, sorry.
Why was that?
Because when war came, you see, if I'd been teaching 6 months or a year, I would have qualified for a full salary, and I would have had my salary made up between my army pay and when you know, two bob a day, right? So I was very bitter about that. I couldn't get a job.
And that was just purely on your age?
Yeah, I'm sure of that. I was interviewed by two or three authorities. I remember Sheffield was one, I think, if I remember right. It's a long time ago. But there must be a small core of us in this country who, you know...
How old were the other students that were completing their education at the time? Were they younger than you?
There were quite a lot of us, straight from grammar schools, you might say, but there were a lot of what was known in those days as uncertificated teachers, much older than us, who had taught 4 or 5 years uncertificate and came up to be to qualify. In fact, of all the friends, there were five of us in a bunch, and I was the baby of the party. All the others were much older. They eventually got called up, you know, they all served in the forces.
In what ways was war making itself or influencing your life before it actually broke up in those months as you're coming up to the war?
Well, we didn't think much about it, really. You know, at that age, you're more interested in, well, in my case, in sport, and I had a girlfriend, and, I was interested in, and as far as that, I listened to all the broadcasts and read the papers, so I was interested enough. And being reasonably educated, I had a good idea what was going on, but when the crunch came, it was still quite a shock, I must admit. But I never thought about anything else, but, well, I was 21 and the country needed me and that sort of thing. In retrospect, I sometimes wonder, would I have been as keen had I known as much? You know, these things go through your mind. Yeah. A friend of mine was a conscientious objector, and at the time, you know, you're wondering, but I can now see his point of view, and if he had the right principles, who can deny him that?
Did you have any difficulties accepting the discipline of the OTC?
No, none, no. I've always accepted discipline. I'm a great believer in it, even to this day. No problem there at all. Army discipline I found excessive. I was brought up in a Christian home, as you might say, with a very strict father, but a very adoring mother sort of thing. But I knew the difference between right and wrong at a very early age. And my first impression in the army was disastrous, because I was a young conscript, like many others. I remember the first time we went to Bransworth Castle. Hadn't been lived in for 25 years. It was an absolute shambles. And the first half hour I was a soldier, as it might say, somebody lost his wallet and somebody lost his driving licence. And it was somebody who was pickpocketed. You know, and this was the sort of thing we were thrown into. And the regular soldiers who came to train us, their language had to be heard to be believed. And I just wasn't used to this. And on one occasion, I know what bad language is, but some of this stuff was really crude. And I was promoted to Lance Corporal, and I was put into this training, and I was asked how I would give an order to a soldier to pick a bucket up. When you look back, it was ridiculous. And I failed the test because I didn't swear. And I said that was it. I objected. I was put on a charge. The only time I was ever in trouble was doing PE. 200 of us more, you know, with ammo boots on, you know, doing knees up, you know, for 10 minutes, you know, and that was a bit rough. And I just stopped. And this corporal came up and started to abuse me and tell me, you know, what the army was doing for me. And I turned around and I said, look, my father's just spent a fortune on training me, and I'm a fully qualified physical training teacher, and you're telling me, because I was on a challenge, you see.
Before we go much further with the army.
And that was what annoyed me more is about discipline in the army. Quite unused.
Do you recall where you were and what you were doing on the morning that war broke out?
Yes, I was in the schoolhouse in Tanfield, like many families, listening to the declaration. We all went upstairs, looked out of our window, and we could see the skyline and South Shields, all the barrage bullets. There were preparation of war then. And my mother was panic-stricken because I hadn't got a gas mask. You know, there'd been issue in gas masks, and of course, with me being called up, I didn't have a civilian one, you see. I remember hoofing it about a mile away to the centre to get a gas mask for me. My mother was panic-stricken, expecting to see hundreds of German bombers coming over, you know. Because she was like a very highly strung, very nervous woman.
You signed the papers.
When I was in college.
How and where were you called up in actual fact?
I was called up to the territorial place up Claypath. I can recall it to this day. 50 of us went up for medical.
What date was this?
This was, I think it was sometime in July. I can't remember exactly the date, but it was shortly after this. And all young fellows kept saying, what are you going to join? I said, oh, tank corps for me. Fleet Air Arm. You name it, everything. And every single one of us ended up in the Durham Light Infantry. We were given no choice whatsoever. And that was a bit of pill to swallow. I mean, I was an educated man in that sense. I could speak French within reason. I could map read it. To me, looking back, of course you don't think about it at the time, I felt I was wasted talent. Like many, many young men that were sent over to France, I believe we were sent over there just to pacify the French. You know, I don't know. I could be wrong on that. But miners were sent over. Many of the men that were caught with me in France were miners from the Ashington area. What a waste of not only talent, but good raw material for the home front. And I still think it was very, very wrong. Oh, dear.
So you would get there and you would be given a medical. What form did it take?
Oh, the usual. Hands up, cough, you know. 5 minutes and it was all over. And I was past A1. Because I think I was about the fittest man that joined the British Army because I'd just done this course, you see. Very, very fit man.
After your medical and being signed on, as you say, what happened next?
I went back home and waited. And you may not believe this, but one day I got a message that I had a report to the old co-op in Stanley Front Street. I got a job with the JOC. Do you remember the JIC? I think it was the Juvenile Instruction Centre. A bit like what's going on today, you know, the WISE, whatever it is, scheme. You know. And I went up there and reported. And this chap said to me, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I've been told to come here. I'm a teacher." He says, "Well, get away home. War's been declared. Or war was about to be declared." And I got the magnificent sum of £3.15 for my work. And I never did it. Never lifted a finger, never lifted a
finger. What work was it? Going to be?
Instructing these young lads on the dole. That's what it was.
And you never actually did?
No, there was nobody there. Because war was declared on the Sunday. When I got there on the Monday, you see, he told me to go home.
So how long had you to wait before your final call-up papers came?
15th of September, I was called up.
And where did you go to?
Bransford Castle.
How were you received?
Terrible. I understand that if some ancient family hadn't lived in it for 25 years, the place was an absolute shambles. We had no uniform. We had no rifles. We had nothing. We didn't even have knives, forks, or spoons. And the living, we slept on what they called biscuits, I think they called them in those days. A room no bigger than this, and about 40 was in it. It was dreadful.
Was this on the floor or on
the deck? On the deck. They gave us the typical army haircut. Yeah, I remember sitting watching these fellows go. I mean, I wasn't worried about my hair. And it was so bad, they gave us a weekend pass because they couldn't do anything with us, you see. And I went home. And I remember getting off the bus on the top end of Front Street standing. I was so ashamed. I was filthy. And I had this blooming army haircut, which was almost all off. I ran the full length of Stanley Main Street. I was so ashamed of myself. And I went home to the schoolhouse, Tanfield Lee. My mother opened the door and fainted when she saw a little boy there. I was looking absolutely wreck. And then we were sent back there. And well, I certainly didn't enjoy that. I wasn't a very good soldier, by the way. You know, I was doing my duty and that was it. And we were shuttlecocked then from there up to Willington.
How long was this before this happened?
Oh, it was only in Bransford, about 6 weeks. And then we went to Willington.
In that initial 6 weeks, so what form of training were you tried on?
What's commonly known as square bashing. That was all. In front of the old cottages, if you know Bransford Castle, and see them yet up and down there. All the natives coming to watch the poor wee lads, you know.
Had you got your uniform by then?
Yes, we had uniforms by then. And I say we went to Willington and did some training there.
Oh, did that change in any way, the training at Willington?
No, it was basic infantry training. And then
were you doing route marches?
Yes, bayonet training. I remember they put us in this field. Is this okay to say this? Because it sounds awful, but I can remember it quite clearly. And they put us in this field to do this bayonet training. You know, this charging up to these dummies and screaming blue murder, which was totally alien to me. And there were cow plats all over the place. Yeah, we were covered. Literally, it was an absolute mockery. Corporal Twicey Thomas, I remember his name, because they call him Thomas. And he was a regular, and the language was terrible.
What other training were you doing? You mentioned bayonet training. What were you doing with the rifle?
Well, slow arms, and that was about it.
Were you getting the opportunity to fire it?
No, not then. I had a disastrous firing experience. I went down to Whitburn And I fired my rifle all right, but when I came to the Bren gun, you see, I'm not mechanically minded, as I said to you before. And I think I'm right in saying there was a process. If your Bren gun didn't fire, there were two ways of putting it right. And I was as ham-fisted as the next man. I couldn't do it. And I had to fire this thing, and it never fired. Standing behind me was the RSM, tapping his little stick at me. He wasn't very particularly nice towards me. He didn't like me very much, I don't think. And five times I pressed the trigger, nothing happened. Well, of course, if I'd been a good soldier, I would have known how to take the thing to bits and put it right. But I didn't. Of course, when I pressed it the sixth time, it fired. But I hadn't got a hold of it. And I think I hit every target on the Whitburn range. And I'll tell you what the RS said. I was in trouble. And I think I was gated for the weekend or something. I can't remember now.
What does gated mean?
Well, that's a college term, isn't it? You know, but I was confined to barracks, you know. And then we went up to Ushamua. Oh, it was dreadful. I remember the night the regiment moved out, not me, but you were on about girls that were all around the gate. You know, these girls were weeping and hanging on to these young fellas and off to war sort of thing. You know. I think they were going to Durham, actually. The very next day when the new consignment came in, the same girls were standing there greeting everybody. It was really comical, because then, of course, I was almost engaged to a girl. But I had a rough time in Ushamua. It was dreadful.
Now, how long were you in Ushamua?
I was there over the Christmas. I think I remember, if I'm right in saying, the winter of 1940 was one of these rough ones. And I remember doing training up on the Ushwinning Ridges there in denims. It was bitterly cold. We had a rough time up there. This was when we were doing really very tough infantry training.
What kind of training is infantry training?
Well, you know, advancing and charging and knowing where to position yourself and silhouettes on top of hills and all this stuff, you know. I presume it was basic infantry training, because we were an infantry regiment when all said and done.
What other weapons other than the rifle and the Bren were you using at this time, Mr. Watson?
Nothing, only bayonet practice. That was the only other thing.
Had you come across any anti-tank weapons?
No, not till I got to France. It was the Boyce anti-tank rifle. I'll tell you a story about that too. But we had no basic training on that.
Did you have any training in gas?
Just using a gas mask. When I fired my course, we had to wear a gas mask on one of the courses I fired was fired with a gas mask.
So at Bransworth, and at Willington and Ushamua, you're in your basic training.
Oh yes, it was mostly route marches and.
Was your marches carried out at the light infantry pace?
Oh yes. And then of course I was asked if I would volunteer to go to Blackpool, I think it was, with the physical training sections. But I refused. And I was told, I said, well, you'll get two stripes straight away and you'll never leave the country. That was the incentive thing. But I refused. I said I was going to do 6 months in the ranks, if you remember. And I kept my word. I didn't join. And I was fully trained. I had a teaching certificate to prove it, but I didn't. I stayed in the infantry.
You've mentioned the conditions in some places. What was army food like? How did you take to that?
Well, at Bransworth, these were all regular soldiers. And I'd never tasted curry in my life before till I got to Bransworth Castle. And believe me, you know, these fellows must have come straight from India, because it was disastrous. Terrible.
Curry at Bransworth?
Oh, terrible. It was put on raw, literally. It just about burnt your mouth. It was, army food to me wasn't, especially the way I was brought up, I'll be honest with you, I was probably a bit spoiled.
Was there any initiation ceremonies there?
No.
Of bullying of any kind?
No. In fact, I would say the chaps that I joined it with, there was quite a camaraderie amongst us, because you know, that some of them were young solicitors, clerks. And I mean, I was only a student, you see, because I hadn't done any teaching. So there was a camaraderie amongst us, especially where the regulars were concerned.
Were there any NCOs that particularly stand out in your mind, either good or bad?
Oh, Kershaw. I can remember, you see, I remember this Sergeant Kershaw. His language had to be heard to be believed. He always reminded me of Norman Wisdom. Just looked like him. But, you know, that was, I don't blame the man. That was where he was brought up, you see, and he was a regular. And
other than the language, though, what kind of treatment were you getting?
They didn't molest us at all. They didn't bully us or anything like that, no. But, you know, you had to do as you're told, and if you didn't fall in, you were jolly well told about it, and no in certain terms. But I think most of us accepted this when we were in wartime conditions. And, of course, the more or less read the riot act to us, we knew what would happen. Disappeared, sort of thing.